In the Gospel of Mark, the one that we are reading the Gospel most of the Sundays, it is the shortest of all the Gospels, so everything seems to be very concentrated, and it was like he was writing in a hurry. There's lots of immediately and following that and immediately. But there is a moment that Jesus takes his disciples, his apostles, and they go from Galilee, which was up north, the country, and they go down, they would actually go up, because to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is higher ground than it is Galilee, but Jerusalem was south. They would go to Jerusalem. And in this journey, Jesus is teaching his disciples some valuable teachings that are meant to us today. There's no meaning reading the Gospels, reading the Scriptures, if we look just as a book of the past. That was pretty much, especially the Gospels, pretty much alive. And it is there that we find the inspiration that we need. During his journey, Jesus was trying to prepare his disciples, because getting in Jerusalem, things would, you know, kind of get very difficult. Difficult for Jesus, difficult for those following him. So for about 3 times, he prepared them and he told them, you know, we are going to Jerusalem. When we get there, the Son of Man, Jesus was talking about himself, he will be handed over, he will be judged. They will have a trial, they're going to kill him, but God will raise him up on the 3rd day. 3 times Jesus said this. The first time, and the disciples, they didn't get it. The first time, Peter tried to stop him. No, Lord, this will never happen. And Jesus said, get away from me. Now, behind me, Satan. You think like, you know, humans do, not as God does. The second time Jesus said this, the disciples didn't say anything. But when they were alone, they start talking. And Jesus, when Jesus asked them, what were you talking about the way? They were discussing who was the greatest among them. And what we heard today's gospel was just after Jesus mentioned that a third time they're going to Jerusalem and there will be suffering there. And we see that James and John, they come up to Jesus and they say, Lord, we want you to do whatever we ask of you. And Jesus said, what do you want? He said, well, not much. Just when you are in glory, one of us to sit at your right and the other ones to sit to be by your left. And Jesus said, you do not know what you're asking. And the other 10, they become kind of mad, probably not so much about the question, but because James and John had gone first. Said, oh, they got it, you know, what is left for us, you know? We cannot be in the first circle, you know, of influencing with Jesus. Well, they had their mind. When Jesus gets to Jerusalem, he's gonna be crowned probably a king in their understanding of kings. They had seen a king for a long time because they were under, you know, the Romans. So they were not independent as a nation at that time of Jesus. So they had not seen a king. They probably heard the stories of the kings. And when we hear stories of the past, especially if they're written by the kings, stories will be great, you know, the great kings and everything else. So they dreamed that Jesus would be the king. And of course, they want to be there, close to the king. And Jesus, as he does most of the times, and so many times, time over and over, time and again, he will put their understanding or their view kind of upside down. Jesus is telling you, getting things wrong. You're going to see the world, and you're going to see the rulers, And the way they want to rule, we are the way they want to present themselves. And they want to make their authority felt in one way or the other, because they are the rulers. But it shall not be like that for you. You want to be the greatest? Be the servant of all. And Jesus says, just I, talking about himself, did not come to be served, but to serve. What is this to serve? That's what we get. What is it that is calling us to be at the service, to be servants? Not to look for first places, when basically that's so much what is out there. You know that time and again, what we listen here, what we, you know, meditate in the gospel, said, but this is, it's different. People look out there to get recognitions, how many, you know, and people will applaud them, and people will, I don't know, you know, if you are in the world, you want to be, of course, the best you can be, but some just to get recognition from others. Social media is like that. You know, how many are following, how many likes, and this and that, and wow, you got so, that's, what is that for? Of course, what helps communication, it's great, but sometimes it does not. Today, the church celebrates mission. There's no other reason for the church to exist if not for the mission. The mission of bringing Jesus and his message to the whole world. Everyone has the right to hear, to listen to Jesus' message. Everyone has the right to hear. Many people will say, I don't want it, I will not follow it, but everyone should at least have the opportunity. And that's the mission of the church. The saint, that is the patroness of the missions, is Saint Therese of the Child Jesus, called the Little Flower, Saint Therese of Lisieux in France, who lived her whole life in a convent as a Carmelite and did not go to any mission, yet was always praying for the missionaries, and she lived her mission that God entrusted her. But I bring her up because today, in a celebration in the Vatican, the parents of Saint Teresa were canonized, were called, you know, and put in the list of saints. Sometimes you say, what is canonized? The word canon in Latin comes from a word that means a list. Just mean that their names is in a list that the church recognizes after seeing their lives here, that they lived their lives here, their faith, in such a way that we believe they'll be in heaven, and we believe that their example is trustworthy, that we can follow their example. And the parents of Saint Teresa, they were not declared, because by this time it should have been declared, because it was, you know, declared saints because of Saint Teresa. They were declared saints in their own right. And I bring this up because in many ways we're talking about service and we say, what should I do? The last Sunday we talked about consecrated life, a way of serving the Lord when the Lord calls women and men to leave their homes, their families, and to consecrate their lives, as sisters, being as brothers or priests, and their life at the service of the church and of the people of God. I would say there are, in as the church, I think for the first time, canonized a couple together, both of them, husband and wife, the same day, is telling us that There is ways of living our service and the life of service in very humble but meaningful ways where we are. Now, parents and the family, sometimes we hear the life of saints and or they go to the East, they go to Africa, they go somewhere, wow, that was an adventure. And here we have a couple, and I got some, I was reading, and I think that's interesting. Interesting because it's showing the value of a humble, a simple life. Nothing that could be at our own eyes extraordinary. However, they lived their daily lives in an extraordinary way that can teach us. They were Louis and Zélie Martin. They were the parents of St. Teresa of the Child Jesus. And they had a large family. They had, I believe, 9 children. 4 of them died pretty young. Didn't have much medicine at that time, talking the 1800s here. And I think of the girls, I don't know if they were all, the other were all girls, but I think they all went to the convent, different convent. They all became nuns and sisters, their daughters. In pretty young age, the mother died of breast cancer. And the father, Louis, was a single parent of 5 minor daughters. And he had to run his business and to raise his children. And then we look, we know that story. Who of us has seen, perhaps not our own, but we have known people who have suffered that in that way, or who have lived with the children, and one parent has to raise by his own his children. They could not prevent, as a family, the tragedies that would come. They could not prevent that. However, they lived the faith and they taught the faith to their children. What I see as important in that is that we should question ourselves when Jesus say, serve, because he came to serve and not to be served. What do we do in our families? Are we a family of servants? Are we at the service of each other, husband and wife, parents and their children, children and their parents, siblings? Are we trying to help each other out? Are we reaching out or not? At our work, there are so many, many ways of being extraordinary, doing extraordinary things in our ordinary life. That's our first mission. And then the Lord might ask us for something more, something beyond what we see. And then we can answer and we can follow him. What I think is most important for us today is to realize that we all, this call for service, it's not a call for just a few. It is the very identity of everyone who calls himself or herself a Jesus follower. If you're not serving, something is wrong. The service begins in our home, people close to us, and then it goes beyond. And it comes here in our church community. We are called also to be at the service of each other. That's the way. That's the way we find the happiness that we need in our lives. Service that Jesus has called us to do, because he did not came in this world to be served, but to serve. And I think today the church is looking forward to that, and it's beautiful the way that Pope Francis is preaching, is living his life, can be a good example to us. But it will be nice, but it's not enough to look and to praise him if our behavior, if our way of living does not change. We need to do our part. We need to do our work, and we need to do our options in this service. then will be, I believe, the community that Jesus intended to form when he began the church, that each one will be a servant to one another, and everyone will be served, and the world will be served so much as a need. And the service that we can do is to bring Jesus' words, Jesus' message, with our words, with our examples, with our lives.